Coming up on Districts, just got in with Conference, Jay. Districts, how would you describe the season up to date right now?
Well, we're just wrapping up the end of a two-week period of conference meets and showcase meets. In the last week, we've had big showcase meets in Grand Island, Norfolk, Scotts Bluff, and Sutherland, plus some really high-quality conference meets. And really, for the first time, in my opinion, we've had a string of better weather that's produced some great results that we've been expecting all season.
Yeah, a lot of teams have had to go through some cold, some windy conditions, and finally, you're right, this past week has been gorgeous, more sunshine, not as breezy. Those temperatures are starting to climb a little bit more, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. We were at Metro's in Omaha on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it was actually hot on Wednesday, which is the first meet I can say that I've been warm at.
Speaking of those great results, Jay, we've had a few state records fall this season. Tell us about them. Which one did you have a chance to witness any of these?
Well, I did. I've seen a couple. So we'd already talked 3 weeks ago about Carson Lehling of Sydney. She was the first athlete to break a record. She tied the Class B high jump mark with a 5'10 leap. But then we've had just a flurry in the last week. So Jack Galogli from Creighton Prep, he's a defending champ in the 200, and we've been watching him all year. We felt like he could knock out a couple of records. Well, he got that 200 state record at Kearney a few weeks ago, and then he actually would have broken Kenzo Cotton's mark again on Wednesday at Metro's. It was a perfectly still day. He ran under Cotton's mark, but he didn't beat the mark that he had set at Kearney. He was also just a tenth of a second off of the 100 record by Kenzo Cotton, and the Creighton Prep 4x100 team was just a tenth of a second off the record on Wednesday as well. So looking for big things from that UNL commit. Jack Galogli's had a pretty impressive season. The record breaker that we thought she was going to grab something last year is Kay Campos of Lincoln Pius. She's been nibbling at the edges of the 100 hurdles and 300 hurdle marks for the last 2 years. She finally got that 300 hurdle mark last Thursday at Benson, and breaking a 16-year-old mark. And then on Tuesday at the hack meet, she broke that record again. So she's now still got the record in the 300 hurdles. And if we get a calm day at State at Burke, I can see her breaking that 100 hurdles. It just kind of depends on the weather. The guy that I probably adore more than anybody in high school right now, and you may be in the same camp, is Carson Necker of Hardington Cedar Catholic. He's already committed to South Dakota State University, and he has won more medals, gold medals, than we can count at state. He finally got that Class C 1600 record that was from 1967. So he ran a time of 4:17 in Norfolk last Thursday, and then he turned around and ran a 9:12 2 days later, also in Norfolk. So now he owns the 1600 and 3200 meter record. He is a kid who gives it all every race he runs, and so I wouldn't be surprised if he tried, or if he actually broke one or both of those records in the next 2 weeks. We had one of our nerds on site for Cade Piper. He's from Norfolk Catholic, but he's an Iowa football commit. He broke the Class C shot put record last Saturday at Norfolk. And then he broke it again yesterday at his home meet. So he's on a roll. He's a beast. And he may do some more things here in the next 2 weeks. One of the more impressive results here was Waverly's 4x400 team, the boys' team. They've always had a stable of great 400 runners, but they ran a 3:18 4x400 last Thursday at Crete. Broke the old record by almost 3 seconds, which in track is a huge amount. And so that was a 43-year-old mark that they broke. And now they're about 2 seconds away from the all-class mark of 3:16. I don't know that they're going to get that, but they just have some horses. And more importantly, one of their guys has a mustache, and I feel like that's a competitive advantage.
Now, at the start of the season, Jay, you were predicting up to 5 all-class state records this year. You stand behind that prediction.
You know, I'm going to stand behind the 5 all-class records. We'd actually said it could go as high as 10. I don't think that's going to happen. The weather just hasn't cooperated the way that we wanted it to. But there's a couple. Our nerds letter that we wrote last Wednesday on our website at preprunningnerd.com, we've got a long list of all-class and class-specific records that we think could fall in the next 2 weeks. A few that I think are more likely than others, I've got several here. First, I think one of the distance records for girls will be broken. We had an enormously great crop of high school girl distance runners last year, and it's even better this year. And so J.C. Sievers, Berlin Schutz, and Claire White are really the top folks. And so I feel like a record's going to fall in either the 800, 1600, or the 3200. Sievers is probably the only serious threat for the 3200. She's already run in the low 10-20s, which would be a strong mark for a boy, and she is just an absolute beast. But she and Berlin Schutz are within a few seconds of the 1600-meter record that's been along for a while. And then I think all three girls have a shot at that 800 mark that Stella Miner set last year. Also on the girls' side, the all-class girls' long jump record should be broken. I was on site on Tuesday at Metro's and just watched a clinic put on by Amari Lang of Millard South and LaDame Davies of Westside. Amari went over 20 foot for the first time in her career, and really the first time that anybody has done that in quite a while. It was not a wind legal jump, but she was only a half inch away from the all class record. She's just been on a tear, and this is a senior who is not committed yet to a college. I talked to her on Wednesday though, and she's got a lot of high Division I colleges that she's talking to, and she's probably not going to make her decision until this summer. Speaking of jumps, Jalen Lloyd of Westside has been one of the dominant jumpers in the last 4 or 5 years. And he had a minor injury in March, and so his coach has been very conservative about bringing him back. He jumped 48.8 in the triple jump on Tuesday, and he should have an awfully good chance of breaking that all-class record of 50 feet, 2 1/4 inches. And then finally, I think Jack Logley still is a threat in that 100-meter dash, and I think Creighton Prep could easily take off that tenth of a second in the 4x100 relay.
Are there any other athletes that you've seen in person that impressed you, again, over the past month or so?
Well, one of the great things about expanding our nerd team is that now I have the opportunity to expand beyond Class A. And so I had the chance to go to Columbus last Saturday for the Centennial Conference meet. I had a lot of meets that I could have chosen on Saturday, but I went there in part to see Cade McIntyre of Fremont Bergen compete, as well as the Kearney Catholic girls. Unfortunately, Cade didn't compete on Saturday. I spoke with his coach, and he ran early in the season, and then he has just been in this period where he's focusing on preparing for his football career at Oklahoma. But I've been assured that he's healthy and that he will compete at districts and state. And I don't know if you've seen the video of earlier this year, but he was running the 100-yard dash, and he looks like a pro football player competing against junior high kids. He is so big and so fast, and so he's going to be a lot of fun to watch at state. Saturday was also my first look at the Kearney Catholic girls. A few weeks ago, I wrote a short article on Hazel Harburg, who's a freshman at Kearney Catholic, and she's got the fastest Class C times in the 100 or 200. But while I was there in Columbus, and I also got to see her sister, Margaret Harburg, who is a high jumper and hurdler. Peyton Zingel does the 100 and 400 and is on their 4x100 team that I believe has the best mark in Class C. But I have to say that on Saturday I was most impressed with Kearney Catholic's Alyssa Onan. I talked to her mom during the meet. So Alyssa was a very competitive gymnast and had no thoughts of competing in anything in high school other than gymnastics. Unfortunately, she had a pretty severe concussion last summer, knocked her out of doing any athletics for 6 months. And in gymnastics in high school, if you're out of gymnastics for 6 months, you have lost a tremendous amount of ground. And so she kind of stepped away from gymnastics, and track and field was the first high school sport that she could go out for after she got cleared. She dabbled in the pole vault last year in eighth grade, but she's done really well. She jumped 12 foot at Columbus, which is 9 feet short of the state record for Class C. She also jumped over 17 feet in the long jump and over 36 feet in the triple. So we haven't done any team projections, but you look at this Kearney Catholic team, which is just stacked with freshmen and sophomores who are outstanding, and you have to think that they're in a hunt for the state title.
Have there been any controversies in the sport this spring?
Well, thankfully, track and field is relatively free of controversy. You know, it's an objective sport. It's measured by a stopwatch or a measuring tape. However, there does seem to be confusion about state records by coaches and parents. In the 100 and 200-meter dash, the 100 and 110-meter hurdles, and the long jump and triple jump, a mark can't be considered a state record without a wind reading. And so we've had some pretty amazing 100 and 200 times this spring, as well as some long jumps, but they've often been executed with 20-mile-an-hour winds at their back. And so those don't qualify. Most meets don't have a wind gauge, an in-the-meter. And so there are athletes who probably have legitimate state records, but without those wind readings, we just don't know what they are. If you're a true track nerd and you want to find out more about wind readings, we've got a long discussion on our April 11th Nerds Letter on our website about it. But you might want to sit down for that. It's a pretty heavy read.
Districts are this next week. What's important for us to know?
Well, so we've got, I believe, 28 districts between Tuesday and Thursday of next week. We don't expect to see many record attempts for the elite athletes. Their goal is simply to qualify in as many events as they can and just advance the state. Unlike the two-day state meet, the district schedules are really compressed, and so it's a long day even if you're the best in your events. Weather will also play a big part. Last year, Carson Necker of Cedar Catholic and Jordan Arnes of Crofton would likely have easily qualified for state in the 800, 1600, and 3200, as well as the 4x8. But the heat was so bad that they both scratched from the 800s to save themselves for their other races. And I don't know if you can remember that. That was last year was a year where, I believe, in western Nebraska, dust storms rolled in several events. And then, I think it went from like 90 degrees down to 70 degrees in about 15 minutes. But some of these districts on the east side of Nebraska, they just stayed at 90 degrees the entire day, and so it was just a tough place to be. If you're not an elite athlete, your focus is simply on qualifying for state. In general, 24 athletes qualify in each individual event, and 16 teams qualify in the relays. We just posted an article this morning on our website that gives more detail on how athletes qualify for state, since there are differences between classes and between events. And I will note that this is kind of a stressful time for a lot of kids. Everybody wants to make it to Burke and run their best at the end of the season. And so the last few years, we've dropped an article just before districts. The title of it is No Room for Fear or Doubt. But a lot of kids have connected with that article and realize that districts is just another day. Even a bad performance doesn't minimize everything that they've done in their career. So I would suggest that your listeners kind of catch up on our website. We'll probably drop that on Sunday, but that's a great message for kids and for parents.
Jay, I hear there's been some changes at Burke for the state meet.
Well, not huge changes, but I think it's going to be changes that fans will appreciate. For one, they've simply repainted the lane lines, which it's been a couple of years, and so that's just better for officiating and for the athletes. More importantly, though, they fixed the scoreboard that was originally taken from Rosenblatt Stadium. So if you'll remember, for the last 2 years, they've had some temporary, very small video boards up to show times and competitors. And so we finally got the big scoreboard back. I was at Burke on Tuesday and Wednesday for the Metro meet. It works. It's great. You get live timing. And I think that's going to add to the experience.
What do you have on your plate now for the next couple of weeks? I know you'll keep busy.
Well, this is kind of the busiest time for us. All the athletes are tapering, and we're actually burning the midnight oil. But we've got that article on our website at PrepRunningNerd.com that explains how you can qualify for state. There are 28 district meets next week, and we hope to take photos at least 8 of them. So those 8 photo albums will be up late next week. This morning, we uploaded photos from the Hack Conference meet in Grand Island and the Best of the Midwest meet in Sutherland. In fact, our website on the Pictures tab has links to 77 high school meets that we've shot at in the last 7 weeks. So we're getting around. On our rankings page on our website, we have a list of the top 15 performers in each event, boys and girls, for each class. And on the results page, we've got links to every high school meet in Nebraska that we could find. So there's a lot. And I mentioned earlier that article, No Room for Fear or Doubt. Again, I would suggest that folks find that on Sunday and take a look at it, particularly parents, because I'm sure that you're a parent, and I'm sure that your kids are keyed up for districts. And I think that the best thing a parent can do is this week is just tell kids that they're not defined by their running, and that they'll support them either way, however well they do. Speaking of being a parent, Rich, so this may be the last interview we do this track season. In addition to your status as a radio superstar, I know that your daughter and son are competing in track this season. As a father, what does track and field mean to you? How has it impacted your family?
We absolutely love track and field. We have since the kids, they did Junior Olympics as elementary kids, got involved with that, and that slid right into junior high, had a ball with that, and you know, we just missed out to qualifying for the junior high championships over in Gothenburg, but we went over and watched. We had a teammate involved in that. We went and watched her, and I think we had a long jumper too, I think. Had a ball doing that, and that slid right into high school. Of course, my kids as seniors missed their freshman year because of COVID, so they were kind of cheated out of a year, but came back sophomore year. My boy qualified in the 4x8 at state. We placed 8 in the 4x8. My daughter has qualified for the long jump in the last 2 years. My son missed out just a little bit last year qualifying in the events, but he's on track, hopefully, to qualify in a couple of events. My daughter, hopefully, crossing fingers, and maybe in a 4x1 relay, maybe the long jump. So we love our track and field. Getting down to Burke is the ultimate quest and goal, Jay. It's a joy to be down there. We always encourage your kids. If you've never been to a state track and field meet and you want to compete there, hey, let's get after it and get a chance to hopefully someday compete at a state track and field meet in front of all those people at Burke Stadium. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. But to answer your question, we love track and field high school. We're gonna miss it. The kids aren't moving on to do track and field in college, but they'll still follow it, and I'm sure keep themselves in shape. Cole will still run. He's just a runner. He's already said, I'm going to go out and run all the time. You never know. Maybe he'll become a marathoner, one of those half marathon type of guys. But we love it, Jay. Love the sport. Always will.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's the beauty of track and field. I was a below average distance runner in high school, and I'm 56, and I'm still running about 20 miles a week. And I can tell you a lot of days my run is the highlight of my day. So I love that we give these young men and women this hobby that they can do for the rest of their life.
No question about it. It's a great sport. I wasn't a trackster back in high school. No, I never went out. But boy, as soon as I got into radio and I got my job and I started covering it a lot more in the local scene, started getting down to Burke. You know, I've been doing this since 1989, 1990. Once I've been every year, pretty much, I think I've been to Burke every year, Jay, except one when my kids were born. Late May, they were doing, I think, early June, and they came early in late May, and I missed the state meet because of that. I think that's a pretty good excuse right there.
Well, don't hold it against them. I think that was probably worth it.
Exactly right. No question. Jay, again, all of your great coverage, all the charts, all the stories, find on your website. I know you post on social media as well. All that great stuff. You're posting good stuff. And all the pictures. My gosh, how many pictures have you guys posted this year?
I'm going to guess about 40,000. I don't know. I mean, I will take about 7,000 to 10,000 pictures at a meet, and then I will post about 700 of them. So I might shoot a little bit more than some of the other nerds, but we have 12 active nerds out there right now that stretching from Omaha all the way to the Wyoming border, and we've added some new folks who are just awesome. So, and they're all volunteers. So there's no dollar thing in here for us. There's just 12 people who really love track and field and who want to support their kids or just want to give back to the sport that gave so much to them.
Jay, it's always great to catch up. Have fun time at districts. There's going to be some good meets coming up, and then we'll see you down at state, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you, sir.